Welcome everyone along to our morning worship service here in Karatz today. Special welcome to those who are visiting with us today. This is a little a day when things are a bit unusual. We have a picnic after the morning service, and it is quite a nice day. Hopefully it'll still be nice after the service if you're able to stay. And if you've remembered about the picnic, there are tables that are set up in the church hall. They can be moved around. And they can be moved outside, or chairs can be taken outside, or maybe you've brought your own chairs. So, picnic after the service, and then there'll not be an evening service today. There'll be a short afternoon service. So that'll be around 2:30, shorter than usual service. There's no midweek meeting this week, but I hope to have a meeting to talk about arrangements for Senior CY. That will either be on Tuesday night or Thursday night, and that will be confirmed today. Meeting at the church 7:30, either Tuesday or Thursday. Next Sabbath day. The services at 12 noon and 7:30, and then the prayer meeting at 7:10. As far as I know, the Sabbath school will be starting next Sabbath, and that will be 11 o'clock next Sabbath, the Sabbath school classes resuming. And then the following week, there's a session meeting due to take place on Tuesday the 6th, and a Northern Presbytery meeting on Wednesday the 7th. Reminder then about the paper banknotes, that those will soon no longer be in use, just from the point of view of offerings. Next weekend is a young adults weekend at Mullerton House in Annalong, and in the month of September we will have an offering for the building appeal for the building work that's due to be happening in Nantes. Then there was an announcement, I think it was read last week, in regard to the Northern Presbytery Choir, and those who are interested in participating in the choir need to contact David Lochridge about that, and that needs to be done by tomorrow. I'll not read out the whole announcement again. It is on the notice board if you need to get any information from that announcement, but the Presbytery Choir, if it's going to continue, needs a sufficient number of people, and so this is an effort to gauge how many are able to be involved in that. So those are the announcements that I have for today. We come to worship God together now, and we join in his praise, singing some words from Psalm 30. We sing from the beginning of the psalm, the first four stanzas of Psalm 30. We'll be singing to the tune Clarksville 220. So Psalm 30, and singing the first four stanzas. Lord, I will you exalt, for you have set me free, and over me to joy made not my enemy. To you, O Lord, my God, I cried, and you have health and strength supplied. And in the third stanza, the psalmist says, soon is his anger past, life in his favor lies. Tears for a night may last, at morn will joy arise. I'll say, in my prosperity, I surely never moved will be. And Psalm speaks about the favor of God, and the great blessing it is to live in the favor of God. So let us sing to his praise then. Psalm 30, the first four stanzas, and the tune is Clarksville 220. We stand to sing and remain standing then for prayer. Let us worship God. Now we speak to God in prayer. Lord God, we draw near to you in our worship, and we come unto you, Lord, for you are the God who is great and excellent in everything. We thank you that you're the God who is without beginning and without end. We thank you that you're the God whose purposes stand through all the ages. And Lord, it's good for us to remember you on this Lord's Day, that at the start of a new week, we remember the Lord God Almighty. And we are aware, O Lord, of living in a troubled world, a world that seems to lurch from one crisis to the next crisis, whether it's a health crisis, a cost of living crisis, a climate crisis, or whatever it may be. But, O Lord, we praise you that with you there are no crises. We praise you, God, that you know what you have planned, that your kingdom is fixed and solid and sure, and that you will accomplish your good purpose. And we pray, O Lord, that in the midst of all the troubles that are present in the world, that people will remember you, that they will remember that this is not all there is, but that there is an eternal age to come, that there is an invisible God who is the all-important one. And so today we pray that you will help us as we gather together in worship. We pray that it will be good for us to do so, and we pray that you will help us to honor you as we bring you our praise and our prayers and as we listen to your word. We ask, Father, for your help in appreciating all that you've done in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we ask forgiveness now in his name. Amen. Now let us read together from God's word. We'll be reading in the book of Psalms and then also in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke. First of all, in the book of Psalms, we read chapter 28 and 29. And then in Luke's Gospel, some verses at the start of chapter 18. Book of Psalms, and reading from the beginning of Psalm 28. And in the Church Bible, which is the New King James Version, it's page 493. Psalm 28. Let us hear God's word. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. And then also reading Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God, the God of glory, thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And then we read some words of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 18, page 927 in our church Bible, and reading the first eight verses in this chapter. Luke chapter 18, reading from verse 1. Jesus is speaking, and it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" And we end our scripture readings there at that verse in Luke chapter 18. And I'll just say a few words to the younger folk who are here or who may be listening later. I begin with a question. And the question is, how many times do you have to ask for something before you get it? How many times do you have to ask for something before you get it? Now, maybe that's a silly question, you might say, because the answer to that question depends on a lot of things. It depends on what you're asking for. It depends on who you're asking. Sometimes you might get whatever you ask for straight away. Other times, you might not get it at all. And sometimes you have to wait for a good while before you actually get what you ask for. Well, the Lord Jesus, at the start of Luke 18, is teaching a parable to encourage us to keep on asking and not to lose heart. And it's God that we're to keep on asking. And he tells about a widow, a lady whose husband had died. Life was difficult for widows then, maybe even more so than it is now. And this lady had a serious issue. There was someone making life very difficult for her, and she wanted to get justice. And she went to the judge, the local judge, and he wasn't a good man at all. And he was a man who didn't care about God and he didn't care about people. But she went to him, and she went to him again and again and again, and he didn't care about her at all, and he didn't care about God. But in the end, he gave her what she asked for, and she got justice. And Jesus is saying that if that's the way the unjust judge is, well then, how much more should we keep on asking God? Because God isn't like this unjust judge. God does care about people, and God does care about God. And we're to keep on asking God, if there's something good, something we believe to be good, we're to keep on asking God for it. But sometimes, Jesus is saying, sometimes you will have to wait. You'll not get it straight away. You'll have to keep on coming back and asking and asking. But if it's good, God is a God who delights in giving what is good. And especially, we should keep on asking God to save us, to give us salvation, to give us forgiveness, because no one else can do that for us. And God likes us to keep on asking. Even if you've asked God to save you and you don't think anything's happened, you should keep on asking and keep on praying and do not lose heart, because God delights in giving what is good. But God knows the best time to give the good things that he gives. So Jesus tells this parable. It teaches us that we should keep on praying and that we should not lose heart. Now we're going to sing to God's praise. We're going to sing part of a psalm that we've read, Psalm 28. And we sing on this occasion the first five stanzas of Psalm 28. The tune we use is Hesperus, number 14. Psalm number 28, and we sing from the beginning of the psalm, singing the first five stanzas, tune number 14. To you I call, O Lord my rock, do not be deaf unto my cry. I'll be like those gone down to death if you are silent in reply. O hear my supplication's voice, when I to you for mercy cry, when to your holy sanctuary I lift my pleading hands on high. And here's a psalmist who is persisting and calling out, crying out to God in his prayer and looking for that answer. And as the psalm goes on, we find that he does receive that answer of God, and he finds great strength and great help in the God that he has turned to in his prayer. So we sing Psalm 28, then the first five stanzas. Tune 14, we stand to sing, and let us unite our hearts in praising God.
Thank you.
Now, just before we come to prayer, I'll just mention some things that I intend to pray for. And on the back of the announcement sheet, it mentions the Barakal family in Spain and their move to their new home in Seville. That side of things has been sorted at this stage, and the schooling arrangements are being finalized, so pray for them in the new place that they're going to be living and working, the new church situation there with a congregation of around 50 people in the city of Seville. Pray for God's blessing upon that. And then in our mission work in France, in Nantes, last week, Monday to Friday, there were 9 men who were across doing some practical work around the manse, and they got everything done that they were hoping to accomplish in that time, and everything went very well. So we can give thanks for that. And then at the bottom of the prayer points mentioned our church in North Edinburgh, where Peter Lochridge is the minister, and they have recently had an elder ordained, and he's a retired minister, Reverend Archie McPhail, who's been worshiping with them in recent years after retiring and moving to Edinburgh. And then the church there has been looking for a suitable place to meet, and there's a community centre that is ideally located and would be well suited to their needs, and that has come up for sale and it's in good condition. There are 6 or 7 other parties that are interested in buying it, and I think there's a meeting on Wednesday of this week in regard to that sale. I don't know if a final decision will be made then, but you can pray for that they will be able to find a suitable place to meet, and if this is not it, that something else will soon become available for them. So we come to God now in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Lord, our Father in heaven, we thank you for the world in which you place us, and we thank you for what we experience of your world and the part of it in which we live. We praise you for the seasons that we do have, and we know that other people don't experience seasons in the way that we do, but we give thanks, O Lord, for the different seasons of the year. And we praise you for the summertime. We thank you for a day like this with the warmth that is in the air. We praise you for the summertime and for all that takes place during the summer months. We thank you for the break that teachers and children have from their normal school experience. And we pray for the new school year that is about to begin in a few days' time. We pray, Lord, for those who will be going back to school as pupils, and we pray that you help them in all that that involves. We pray also for those going back to school or starting in teaching, and we pray that they will be able to do the job that's there to be done. Pray in particular for Abigail as she moves on from primary school and as she starts high school. We pray that you help her in this new experience. We pray that she will make friends at her new school, that there'll be people there that she will enjoy being with day by day. We pray that you will help her in adjusting to a different kind of school. And we give thanks, O Lord, for those in her own family who will be going with her to school, and for the fact how that makes a difference and makes things easier. So we just pray, Lord, for your help in these days of change. We give thanks for our missionary work in France and in Spain. We thank you for the work the men were able to do in Nantes in the last few days, and we pray for the anticipated building work, the new worship premises that are due to be built. We pray that that will go ahead, that there wouldn't be any further delays to that, and we pray, O Lord, for your building building up of the people there that make up the congregation in Nantes. We pray for good health for Andrew and Heather Little, and we pray, Lord, for the new season of activities starting there in Nantes. We pray for the very different situation in Seville in Spain. We give thanks for this new opportunity for Isaac Barakol in exercising his ministry. We praise you for the past year when he's been traveling on a regular basis to preach in Seville. And we pray now that as he enters into that full time, as he and his family will be living in Seville and children going to schools there, we pray that you help them to get to know the folk in the congregation. And we pray that this will all work out really well, that you will build up your cause there. And we pray that many in that city will hear the gospel one way or another, and that many will be brought to believe in the Lord Jesus. We pray for our student ministers. Be with them as they start in a few days' time into learning the Hebrew language throughout the month of September. We pray that that you'll be with John Watterson as he teaches them that. And we pray for Johnny and for Kenny, the students, that you will help them, O Lord, to be able to get their heads around what they're trying to learn, and pray that they'll be a help to each other in all of that. We pray, Lord, for wisdom for our political leaders in these days with so many challenges that they face. We pray that you'll give great wisdom in seeking to help in the country with the costs rising so much. And we pray, Lord, that there will be a way found by which people can get the help that they need. And Lord, we pray that you will guide and lead in the best way of bringing that about. We give thanks for the church in North Edinburgh, and we pray for your building of your cause there. We thank you for a new elder, and we pray for them in their search for a suitable place to meet. We pray, Lord, for that community center, that it may be possible for them to get that and to use that, and that will be something that would really add to their ministry opportunities. We pray, Lord, for different activities for young people that will be taking place and starting up again. We pray for our Sabbath school classes, for your blessing upon that weekly meeting. Pray for teachers and pupils alike. Pray for wisdom and best arrangements for our CY meetings. We pray for the Girls Brigade in Ballymoney as it starts up again soon. And we pray for the Young Adults Weekend that Joel Lockridge is to be speaking at this coming weekend. We pray for the young folk who'll be going to that they will benefit from their fellowship together, and we pray that they'll be strengthened and helped. We pray, O Lord, that you will remember us in our needs. We pray for those not able to be out at worship, and we pray for those who are ill and those who are looking after folk, and those who have to work, and we pray for folk who are away at present. And Lord, we ask that you will be a strength and a help to all in these times. Hear our prayers now. We pray that you will show us your truth in your word. Help us to delight in your word and to claim it for ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we turn to God's word as we read it in the book of Psalms. And I want to speak today on the words that we have in Psalm 28. Psalm 28, Psalm of David. If I asked you what was in Psalm 28, you might not have been able to tell me. I'm not sure that I would have been able to tell you myself. It's maybe a psalm we're not particularly familiar with, but I hope that we will benefit from considering what's in this psalm today, given this the title, Heard at Last. What's the longest time you've ever had to wait on the phone to get speaking to someone? Maybe you're trying to get an appointment at the health center. Maybe as I was recently, trying to get through to the tax office. And the difference between those two phone calls was that when I try to phone the health center, I'm told what number I am in the queue. And as the number counts down, you get a wee bit more hope that you're not too far away. Whereas speaking to the tax office, I had no idea how many hundreds of people were in the queue before me. No idea how long it was going to be that I would have to wait. And then you don't know if you're actually going to get speaking to a person, or if it's going to be another batch of automated answers that you have to go through. Sometimes you have to wait for a long time to get speaking to the person that you want to speak to, and that can be difficult. And in Psalm 28, David is finding it difficult because he has been trying to speak to God, and he feels as if God has not been hearing his efforts to get through to him. I want to speak, first of all, from the first two verses about seeking a hearing. David isn't trying to get through to someone on the phone. He's trying to speak to God in prayer, and he wants some sense that God is actually listening to his prayer, that God is hearing him. And at the start of the psalm, he doesn't have any awareness of being heard. And he doesn't have any sense that his prayer is actually being listened to by anyone. And God has put this into the scriptures, and therefore we are to expect that this is how it will be with us at times in life. There will be times when we will pray and we'll feel as if God just isn't listening to our prayers. Indeed, surely that was how the Lord Jesus himself felt when he was upon the cross. When Jesus used the words of Psalm 21 as he hung upon the cross about how he felt forsaken by God. And in the opening verses of that psalm that Jesus uses to put his feelings into words, it says in Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2, "Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent." And there's the Lord Jesus, and he's crying to the Lord, and he just feels as if there's no one hearing what he is saying. And that's how David feels here at the start of this psalm. Commentator James Boyce says, "God does not usually respond to prayer according to our timetable." And that's a good thing to realize. God does not usually respond to prayer according to our timetable. He has his timetable, and that's what he follows. And we need to expect that that will be our experience in life. Sometimes we will find that God doesn't seem to share our sense of urgency. We might call it a crisis, but that doesn't mean that as far as God is concerned, it is a crisis. God knows much more than we do. And here at the start of Psalm 28, David is saying to God, the NIV translation captures it well. He says, "Do not turn a deaf ear to me." That's how David felt. He felt as if God was just turning a deaf ear to him. And then the next line of the psalm, NIV has, "For if you remain silent." And the idea is that David has been praying to God. He has been crying out to God. And God has been silent. God has given no indication that he has been listening, and he hasn't said a thing. So here is David. He has been trying to get through to God, and he has no sense of being heard. It feels like a one-way conversation, as if he is talking, but he doesn't actually have any sense that he has been listened to at all. He feels as if his prayers are not getting through, and he believes that his prayers need to get through. If he can't get through to God, he feels that he has no hope at all. And he says that if he doesn't get through, he says, then he will become like those who go down to the pit. And he desperately doesn't want to be like one of those godless people who are facing death. Godless people, when they come to die, they have no God, they have no hope. And David doesn't want to be treated by God as if he's like one of those people. And so he pleads that God will hear the voice of his supplications. And he says in verse 2 that he is crying to God and he is lifting up his hands towards God's holy sanctuary. Or it means towards God's most holy place. It's that special place in the tabernacle or in the temple as it was once the temple came into existence. The most holy place. David never went into the most holy place. He wasn't allowed in. He wasn't qualified to go into the most holy place. He wasn't qualified to go into the holy sanctuary. Only the high priest could go in there. Only once a year on the Day of Atonement. But David believes that his prayer is able to get in there. He can't get in, but his prayer can get in. And he directs his cry towards that most holy place. And this shows us that he's trusting in the shed blood that was accepted by God as the atonement for the sins of his people. And that blood in Old Testament times was pointing forward to the blood of Christ that would be shed at Calvary. And David is trusting in that shed blood. And he believes that God should hear his prayer because he is trusting in this shed blood. But here is a man who is seeking a hearing. A man who is serious about prayer. And it really matters to David that his prayer is heard by God. He believes that God needs to do something in response to his prayer. God needs to speak. God needs to act. And if he doesn't, well, what hope is there? And this is the way that God wants us to think. If our prayers are not heard, what hope is there for us? If God does not respond to our prayers, what hope is there for us? David is seeking a hearing, and the scriptures encourage us to be people who seek a hearing from God. In the second place, I want to speak from verses 3 to 5 about seeking justice. And in these verses, we find what it is. What is this thing that is greatly troubling David? Why has he been keeping on coming to God? Why does he see this as a thing of great urgency? What is the situation in his life? And we find that he fears being dragged away along with the wicked people whose hearts are very different from his own heart. So verse 3, he says, "Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts." And in the life of David, who wrote this psalm, there are many times when he was in great danger, and sometimes it was because of people with whom he worked quite closely. People who pretended to be supporters of his cause. People whose words couldn't be relied upon at all. There were evil conspiracies in their heart. And they weren't seeking the welfare of David, but they were seeking their own ends. And these were matters of great seriousness that David was facing. It wasn't just some little insults that had come his way. These were evil acts of men directed against David as the Lord's anointed. And these are evil actions, rebellious actions, directed against the cause of God. And what does David want God to do about this? Well, David is praying that God will give these rebels what they deserve. He asks God to give them what they deserve for their rebellion. He prays that God will administer God's justice. That's what he asks for in verse 4. He says, give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve. This is simply a prayer for the justice of God. A prayer that these people will reap what they have sown, rather than reaping something other than what they have sown. Now, what do you think of those words of David here in verse 4 of Psalm 28? It has become somewhat fashionable in recent decades in Christian churches to see words like these of Psalm 28, verse 4, in an unfavorable light. To see these kind of words as being inappropriate in the gospel age. And there are those who would write and who would argue that we should pray for people like this to repent of their sins, and we should not pray for God to come against them in judgment. In other words, here's a part of the Bible that we're not to pray the kind of prayer that David prays in Psalm 28, verse 4. And that's a fairly common thing that people will say. But those sentiments arise much more from our modern age than they do from faithfulness to the Scriptures. God's Word does teach us that we are not to take personal vengeance. And if ever we take things into our own hands and take personal vengeance, we can be sure that God is against us and that that is wrong. Romans 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We're not to take vengeance into our hands, but we are to leave that in the hands of God. And so the Scriptures would teach us that it is our Christian duty to pray for those who are our enemies and God's enemies. We are to pray that God will bring them to repentance. But the Bible also teaches us, and alongside of that, it teaches us that it is our Christian duty to pray against the enemies of God. To pray against the enemies of God's people and to pray that God will bring them to justice. And we have to just hold those two things together. We're to pray that God's enemies will repent of their sin, that they'll find forgiveness. And if they don't, we're to pray that God will give them what they deserve. And that's how Jesus lived and prayed. That's how the apostles lived and prayed. And we don't have to choose one or the other. We have to choose both. If you only choose one, you're not honoring the Scriptures. You're not doing what God says. If you only pray for repentance but don't pray for justice, you're wrong. If you only pray for justice and you never pray that your enemies will repent, well, you're also wrong. We have to pray both. And so David prays that what they have sown, that they will also reap. And that's what the Bible teaches throughout. In verse 5, David speaks of the great evil that these wicked people that he has in mind, the great evil that they have done. And he is certain that God will deal with them. Verse 5, it says, because They do, what kind of people are they? They're people who do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. And because of this, he shall destroy them and not build them up. And these words alert us to the fact that God takes great personal offense at those who choose to disregard what he has done. God takes it personally when he is given no credit for his good work. When God's work, God's wonderful, intricate work of creation that is beyond our ability to understand the depths of it, when God is given no credit, no recognition for the fact that he is the creator, God takes that personally. They do not regard the works of the Lord. And God is offended when the salvation that he has provided in his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, a salvation provided at such a great cost, if that is just set aside by people as something they don't want, something they're not interested in, something they don't value, well, God takes that personally. They do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. God takes it personally when people choose not to worship the living and true God. He takes it personally. He sees it. And he sees they do not regard my works. They do not regard, they do not delight in the things that I have done. And what will the outcome be for those who do not regard the works of the Lord? Well, David says, he shall destroy them and not build them up. People ignore God. They don't ignore themselves. They're busy with themselves, building themselves up. But God is not going to build such people up. He shall destroy them and not build them up. And David is convinced that everyone who rises up against God and his cause will be brought down. And he prays that that will be the case. And that will be the case. And that the enemies of God will not stand and will not prosper. They will be brought down. So the psalm begins with seeking a hearing, and then it goes on with seeking justice. And then the final part of the psalm, verses 6 through to 9, we have rejoicing in God. David isn't rejoicing in God at the start of the psalm. He's a bit annoyed at God. But in the final verses of the psalm, it is so different. There is a real sense of delight and rejoicing. David believes his prayer has been heard. Verse 6, he says, "Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications." And that was a wonderful thing to David, and it should be a wonderful thing to us also, that the thought that the Lord God Almighty should hear the prayers of little insignificant people like us, that God should pay attention to the words that we speak. And God is so great that he can give his full attention to each one of his adopted children. God is not a God who adopts us as his own and then ignores us. And we do have to wait at times to know and feel that God has heard our prayers. But it's not because God is too busy. It's because that's what's best for us. In verse 7, David tells of what he has received, and he rejoices in God's ways in his life. He says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped." And his fear of being dragged away with the wicked is replaced with an awareness of being strengthened by God. And his turning to the Lord in prayer has really helped him. He has a different outlook on things at the end of the psalm. And it's not just that he has a sort of a quiet sense of gladness, but there's a real exuberance to his mood and to his words. He says, therefore, end of verse 7, therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. And the psalm that begins with a moan and a groan is replaced by a joy and a song. And the fearful heart has gone, and there's a spring in the steps of David. And in the last two verses, 8 and 9, it goes beyond himself. And David wasn't just a private individual. He was the king over God's people. And what he has received, it's not just for him, but it's for the whole people of God. And he has found the Lord to be a saving refuge. And he knows that God will be the same to all of his people. And so he's praying that the comfort he has received, that will be experienced by lots of others. He says in verse 9, save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. And how does God answer that prayer of David at the end of the psalm? How does God save his people? How does God bless his inheritance? How does God shepherd his people and bear them up forever? Well, he does it through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus who saves his people. It is in the Lord Jesus that God blesses his people. Man shall be blessed in him. It is the Lord Jesus who is the good shepherd. He is the one who, on the one hand, lays down his life for his sheep, and on the other hand, he is the risen good shepherd who bears his people up forever. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ who bears his people up forever. And Jesus bears us up in the sense of carrying us. He lifts us up and carries us in life. And he also bears us up in the sense of bearing us up before God in prayer. And one writer, Philip Eveson, speaks about how this is speaking of Christ. He says, this is our good shepherd, the God-man Christ Jesus, who himself prayed with strong cries and tears. Jesus did what David is doing in this psalm. He prays with strong cries and tears. Jesus looked to God for vindication when he was taken away with the wicked. Jesus was taken away with the wicked in his death. And Jesus experienced the ultimate curse for the sake of others. And his prayers were heard, and he continues to intercede for and shepherd his people forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ is pictured here at the end of Psalm 28. David, in his day, most of the time, was a good king. And most of the time, he had a heart to pray for his people. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the great king, the one who always lives to make intercession for his people. So here in Psalm 28, we have a psalm where it begins with this one feeling and ends with a totally different feeling. And you have this great mindset change in David. He moves from that frustration of feeling that God isn't even listening to his prayers. And he moves from that to the joy of believing that God is doing wonderful things and that he's going to keep on doing wonderful things, and not just for David, but for all of God's people. And so can you see how prayer makes a real difference in the experience of David? What a good thing it was that he kept on praying and that he didn't give up. If he had given up before he even got to writing this psalm, he wouldn't have got to what he finds at the end of the psalm. For David, pressing on, persevering in prayer, was really worth all the effort. And God puts this psalm in the Bible to encourage us to keep on in our prayers. And we are given hope for ourselves, hope for our life situations where we maybe feel we're not getting through, but we're to keep on. William Plummer writes, "However sad the case and dark the mind of the genuine believer may at any time be, better days are coming." And David himself wrote that in Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." David himself knew the weeping, knew the sadness, knew the heavy heart, but he kept coming to the Lord in prayer, and joy came in the morning. And it's a great joy. It's a great joy that he has at the end of this psalm. It's a man who's rejoicing in God. He really senses how great and how good God is. And this psalm encourages us to bring all of our tears, all of our fears, all of our frustrations, all of our worries, to bring them to the Lord. Keep on bringing them to the Lord. And he is the one who is able to bear us up forever. Amen. Well, we sing to God's praise then the closing three stanzas of this psalm, Psalm 28. We use the tune, this time we use the tune Umbersley, number 23. Psalm 28, and we sing the last three stanzas on page 52 of our Psalter. "Praise to the Lord, for he has heard the plea for mercy which I made. The Lord my strength is and my shield. I trust in him who sends me aid. Therefore my heart is full of joy. My thanks to him I gladly sing. The Lord, he is his people's strength, a saving fortress for his king. Lord, save your people now, we pray, your own inheritance now bless, and be their shepherd, carry them forever in your faithfulness." Psalm 28, 6 to 8, the tune number 23, we stand to sing and then remain standing for the benediction.
I draw.
Now I'll just give thanks for food for those who are picnicking here, and then close with the benediction. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your daily goodness to us. We thank you for the food that you supply and for the good things that we can enjoy. We ask for your blessing upon our picnic here today, and we look to you, Lord, to continue to provide for us in all these things. Now receive the blessing of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.